Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
You are listening to The Beat, a podcast from The Athletic. Welcome back, everybody. I am Brendan Quinn here with Nick Baumgartner and a very special guest.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Livers on the show. I think it's your first time.
Yeah, we've tried a couple times.
Yeah.
For Steph.
Much to discuss, Isaiah. First of all, who just came bombing into the back of your room?
Yeah, somebody walked in the back door there.
Someone's creeping on you.
Yeah, that's my girl's girl's brother, Hunter.
Oh, there we go.
The goofball.
Isaiah Livers
gave a good wave
of the 12-1 Michigan bet. What's the ranking right now? What's the ranking? Anybody know this? Is it updated? It's probably earlier in the week. Right?
I think 5 in Ken Palm. That's what
5
in
Ken Palm. That's all that matters. So Isaiah, how are things going? You're a senior now. You've been through a lot. Your early impressions on the early part of the season there, and then we'll let Brendan get you into the nuts and bolts of what we're going to talk about here today.
Man, I'm excited. We all knew it was going to be a young group, and we're going to have a good core bench. Everybody was kind of predicting the starting lineup, and it kind of true, but it was all about the rotation players, or like they like to call. Yeah, they like to be called rotation players, and they done a great job in practice. They work very hard. Even guys in the starting five, everybody's just seeming like to mold very well. And I feel like the pandemic kind of gave us a chance to get closer. I remember I mentioned a couple interviews, but that pandemic really gave us time to like not really worry about other people on campus. There was people on campus anyways, right. But it was just a chance for us to learn about each other. And I think that's why our chemistry is at a high level right now.
You know, it's always interesting in our jobs, Isaiah, when you're in one place for a while and you actually see guys as a recruit and then come in and then grow and be older and then suddenly you're seniors, right? And then you move on. And it's because like guys like Nick and I, like we've bounced around jobs and then but now we've both been covering Michigan for years. So, you know, like you were a recruit when I came in 7 years ago and now you're an old guy. Man, and like I'm kind of curious, you know, there's obviously this isn't the senior year you expected, and it sucks with no fans and with no kids on campus, and you're not getting your full final experience. But have you had any time to think about the fact that, you know, you are entering the back half of your final college season? Now, you know, unless you decide to come back next year, I'm not expecting that, but you know, just like, where's your kind of perspective on this journey and where you're at right now?
Well, first thing I can say is I'm grateful to even have a season and be able to play with these guys. because Brotherhood's a family. But like you were saying, there's no fans, there's no people on campus, so it's not really like the senior that we maybe all dreamed of. But it's still happy. I'm making memories on and off the court with my teammates, the coaching staff, managers, like all one big happy family that supports one another. And it's kind of helps fill the void of going back to your apartment every day and like just hanging out with like your roommates or teammates. Like that's the only thing we do. Like there's no walking around campus. There's no going out nightlife. There is no sitting in a restaurant and just meeting new people. It's kind of like a same routine, but mm-hmm. Coach Howard and them, they try to do a great job of changing it up. And I try to change it up as well. I try not to stick to the daily routine of just going to practice, coming home, going to sleep, and maybe playing a video game or two. But I know I just try to find myself doing something new, but nah, it's exciting. I like where our team is going. I like where I'm heading. You could just sense positivity in the air.
Isaiah, I remember when you committed to Michigan, sorry, Brendan, let me cut you off. But like when you committed to Michigan, the program was already sort of it was in a good spot, right? It was moving forward. It was an ascending program. You were there to be part of it. Obviously you start with Beeline and you guys had a lot of fun with the Final Four team and everything else. But I read a quote the other day from you that said, this team is your favorite team or something along those lines, right? Like you've had more fun with this group than any other group. And that sort of struck me in that it's almost felt like you've maybe had an opportunity to do something like that every year you've been here. And it reminded me also of talking to you the day that Juwan took the job and wondering, you know, how this transition is going to go. Can you just sort of speak to that sort of, you know what I'm saying? Like that you come in, the program's in such a unique spot and it's doing really well. And then everything changes. And now people are looking around. And I remember you being maybe one of the older guys in the room at the time. And I'm curious your perspective now, a couple of years removed from when Juwan came in and sort of what your role was and how you kind of embraced him and everything.
It's kind of like how I was expected. Like, and we all know, we all knew what we talked about when we all first met Coach Howard as a team. First thing he wanted to implement was family. That was the first core value he wanted to instill. And then put it on like the locker, like as soon as we got back for summer workouts. So he wasn't playing about that. And he was serious too. He genuinely cares about you as a player and as a person. He just wants you to grow on and off the court. He's like, he's just a super genuine guy. And it's kind of like what I got over the phone. Like my first conversation on the phone with him was
really
the exact same thing. So it was like kind of cool to see how an idol, a guy who I grew up playing a video game with, watching him on TV, like it's, and obviously yeah. Name, but it's just, this dude's my coach now. And he's everything like people say he is. Like there's no negativity within this dude. And I think that's what helps our team is we feed off that positive energy. Like he doesn't bring you down. He only brings you up. And I feel like that's what made his transition so easy, because a new coach would come in and like bring his players with him. He said, no, I'm coming in with you guys, like just you guys. And I think that really sung home with a lot of guys. That trust word he likes to talk about. Everybody trusts him.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And it has – there were a number of times this thing could have kind of gone off the tracks a little bit, right? Whether it would have been departures, whether it would have been anything else. What do you think, like, where was your balance in terms of, I want to be someone to actively help keep this together, right? And make this work versus like, I need to look out for what's best for me and stuff like that. Cause that's something that like so many guys, yeah, in your spot find yourselves just having a way.
For sure. I mean, obviously Coach Key came in and he was like, hey, you're not gonna hurt my feelings if you want to leave. It's actually gonna help you and try to find connections that like to leave, because that's the type of guy he is. He wants you to still succeed even though if you're not on this team or not. But yeah, that's literally what our conversation sounded like. Yeah, I just told him I'm here for you. I want to make this first year special, and just like you said, just kind of like take off and trend the right way that we continue to go. So like that's why I have that certain relationship with Coach Howard, because I don't know, he just trusts me right off the bat. And I was like, man, if this dude's gonna trust me, I gotta trust him. And I think that's definitely why he is who he is.
Were you nervous at all back then that it wouldn't be as smooth as it's been? I know I'm trying to think back, like, you know, you guys had a good season the year before. Obviously Beeline leaves and that changes everything, but like the team was sort of in a place of transition. You had, you know, Iggy had left, Jordan had left, and some guys had left. So you were going to be in a different spot anyway. Were you nervous? I mean, you didn't seem nervous, but like inside, you know, your conversations with yourself that nobody else heard, were you like, we'll see about all this? Because it's an interesting spot.
thing about it was, is I was excited anyways because it was an opportunity for me. I knew coming back my junior year that I was going to have a big role. So I was excited. And I was working hard anyways the whole season. Like, I didn't know who the coach was while I was working. Because I went home that spring and I worked out and I worked on my offensive game, my ball handling, my shooting, creating off the dribble, just all things like that to help coming in to, like, knowing Coach Beilein's going to have to rely on me a lot. When he left, Coach Howard came in, I was like, okay, let's see what Coach Howard's talking about. But first, let's see who they're hiring. That was my main thing, was see who they're hiring. Hired a Michigan man, Coach Howard, terrific conversation with him. He checked all the boxes. He said all the right things, and he stuck to his word. And we always come back to that word, trust. And that's why I wasn't as worried as other people may be, but I was just confident in him, and he was confident enough. And that helps when your coach is confident, like a player's coach is actually confident in your ability.
You know, one of the, I think most interesting parts or fun parts, whatever, of covering a guy for 4 years is seeing his personality develop and change, right, as you get older and stuff like that. And there's been some guys who, especially as seniors, they just really kind of come into themselves, and whether it's having a voice or whether it's whatever, like Derek Walton's transformation as a senior, like when he just stopped giving a shit and was just like saying whatever he wanted to say, playing the way he wanted to play. And it was just like the culmination of 4 years. And when I see you and hear you this year, I'm picking, and we don't obviously have the same deal as usual, right? Because normally you get to have one-on-one conversations and it's a very different situation. It's just not that right now. But with things that you've said this year, whether it's being, you know, kind of outspoken about social issues, whether it's talking about, you know, playing on Christmas, whether it's talking about pay for student athletes, your decision to take a knee, your decision, the way that you talk about your teammates in very open, honest ways. Is this something that you've been cognizant of, that you have a larger voice? Or is this just happening and you're not even, it's almost incidental, you know what I mean? Like, can you kind of walk me through kind of where you're at as a senior, as an older guy?
I think who I am right now is because just I'm more confident in my voice. I think having a larger platform, like from freshman to senior, just rising, just wanted to use it the right way. I wanted to make sure I don't go down the line or dang, like I should have said that. Like, I'm going to say everything that's in my mind because I want to speak my mind and I want to tell the truth, like you said, to just be honest. And I'm just very honest with myself, honest with people around me. And I just feel like it helps, like that literally helps like a relationship between, and then like that still feeds on the chemistry on the court and, you know, off the court. Like, I can get along with so many people. Like, even if I open my voice, doesn't mean like I'm instantly against you. I just want to use my voice because that's what I believe in.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hmm.
Go ahead.
The kind of being open and honest. Do you ever, you know, what's the, is there still like the voice in the back of your head of, oh, okay, well, if I say too much though, people interpret it wrong. Like where's your fine line of worry about how people anticipate things? Cause this is what guys like Nick and I deal with, where, you know, we want to have honest conversations with players and people, right? Because we're people. So many are worried about how, you know, it turns into one quote that gets tweeted and then it's viral and now you're catching shit, right? And it's just like, you didn't sign up for the headache.
Yeah.
So where do you walk that fine line?
I guess when it comes to other people's business, like I don't want to, I'd rather them say what's on their chest or what's happening with them rather than me. Like, obviously I'm the leader, but rather than me putting them out on the spot, like I'd rather give them a chance to say something. Like if they say it, they don't, that means I made the right decision. And there are times where I don't say something and another person may say it, like a teammate will say it. And I'm like, okay, well, they said it. That means I'm gonna back them up with it. Like I was thinking it, but I just didn't say it because I wanted them to have the chance to say it. That's pretty much the fine line for me.
Did you take those approaches from watching older teammates in the past, or is that some sort of a natural process for you? This is sort of where you've landed with your voice and everything.
I don't know. I watched a lot of like professional like interviews. I watched a lot of Kobe and I watched a lot of LeBron, like how they handle the questions and interviews after games or even before games. And I don't know. They just carry themselves a certain way where they're honest, but they're not giving you all of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they'll run a little bit, but they're not going to give you like the whole inside scoop. Like, that's for his teammate to say, not for him. Like, I feel like that's probably definitely where I got him.
I thought it was a degree of honesty is very much appreciated. You know, like last night you're talking, right? You get asked about Mike's defense. You're like, Mike didn't buy in on defense when he got here, Mike Smith, right? And but he learned. And like, if that's what happened, that's what happened, you know? And it doesn't always need to be
a front,
a fairy tale version.
Yeah, everybody wants this Cinderella story. Like I like to give it straight and just like stuff like that. Like Mike will see that and be like, "Thanks, bro." Like he'll make fun of me. Like, "Oh yeah," like I would never put you out there like that. And I look at it like this: Did you buy a defense you first got here? And he's just smiling. Like, that's just how it always goes. Like, because that's a chance where everybody in the world knows Mike was a prolific scorer, top five scorer in the country at Columbia. So you're doing all that usage rate at another school, like on offense especially, it's very hard to be a two-way player and come back on the defensive end and give all your might on defense when you're averaging like 25 points a game. Like, so it's pretty clear. Like stuff like that I can speak out on because everybody else knows about that.
You mentioned the trust and speaking out. I mean, were guys free to do that as much when you first got here? Because I don't know if maybe they were, but it didn't feel like maybe as much. I don't know. Maybe it's just a unique situation with you, but do you sense that that's changed?
It definitely changed. I think it's more of probably having that player's coach, Coach Howard.
Yeah.
Coach Lyon was always, he's always for you saying like what you feel, but it had to be a certain way, you know, which is because he didn't want the media to twist words. That was the biggest thing with Coach Lyon. He hated when the media twisted his words or a player's words. But Coach Howard was more of just speak your mind, but you know, like obviously give your respects and just be articulate and be a gentleman out there and just be respectful of others. Like I think that's what really hits home for me is be respectful of others, and that's probably why I don't put any of my teammates on blast, or I don't put my coaches on blast. I don't point fingers. I just try to, like, you know, we're all in this together, so it's a we thing.
Does it feel like you have half of a season left in college?
No, not at all. Me and Alex A-Dub, we were just talking about like, dang, like we're at that midway point. And I was like, yeah, it's my senior year. He's like, man, I know. Like 4 years ago, you walked in the door with back issues, and now I look at you. It's funny to think about. That was just, it's crazy.
I think what Brandon's getting at here is we've talked with a lot of guys over the years, right? Like Novak and Stu. Guys like Trey, Xavier, a lot of guys who've come through here and played either for a long time or a short time, but they've had an impact that sort of lasted beyond their time here. And I feel like, Isaiah, you're probably at that spot now. Like to where when you do leave here, you know, whether it's Juwan or whomever else is the coach, they're going to look back and say to the next group, like, this is how Isaiah did this, and this is how you need to do this. And same with your younger teammates. Now, is that something that you're sensing? Like, I remember talking about this with Charles even a couple years ago when he'd only been here for what, 2.5 years? And he's feel that way where it was like, I know that when I leave here, I'm going to be leaving behind something that will help carry this thing forward. It seems like you're not going to leave behind something. You're going to leave behind a lot of stuff, I would assume. And has that sort of hit you at all? I assume that's probably something that will come later after you're done. But this is that time of year where guys like you, it starts to kind of come into perspective a little bit.
Yeah, no, I haven't. Actually, it's my first time thinking about it right now. But like guys like Charles and X, obviously, they leave behind this grit and this passion. Kind of like switching in the media of Michigan basketball is not like soft.
You know
I mean, like that was the perspective of Michigan basketball where they were soft and they didn't want to get their noses dirty. Now it seems like after Charles X and even Zach Novak, obviously, like those guys carried the grit, like of just playing hard, hustling, and playing for the love of the game, love for their teammates. And that's something I want to be. I want to have a little bit of my print in too, because every time I'm out there, like someone mentioned it, said I'm always smiling. And I said it's just because I love basketball, like truly. Like obviously I played baseball first, but I found the love of the game like later than other players. And it still feels like my first time of putting everything aside and I was just working out on basketball just consistently and just focused on that. And I don't know, it still feels like that today. So I feel like I hope that feeling keeps going for my career, but you know, I just like to live in the now. So that's how I think about it.
And this year, after all the uncertainty of whether you're going to like, forget whether you guys were going to be good or not, like whether you're going to play or not.
Yeah.
When the fact that you're getting to have this now, and you are getting a payoff that a lot of teams in the country would die for. I mean, you got a long way to go, obviously, but I just imagine it has to feel really good that you guys get to play and you're playing meaningful, important games and you're a Final Four contender. Like, let's be straight about it. Like, you're legit really good. So, like, what does it kind of feel like to be in this moment right now?
It was great. Like you said, not only just having a chance to even play and practice with my teammates, but like it's fun to be out there. Like, fans or no fans, at the end of the day, as long as the ref is throwing the ball and we're tipping off and we're able to compete against other schools, like that, I think that's why we all play anyways, just for the competitive nature. And just because, do it for the people watching. You got the young ones growing up and you know they want to be in your place someday, and trying to like continue the dream of, especially living in a pandemic right now, like I feel like just going out there and just playing. And before I play, like I kind of tell myself there's more important things going on in the world. So this little game is not that important. Like this is, this has nothing to do than the racial injustice issues that are going on today. And we can go all day about the issues in the world, but like that's what my focus is on. That kind of helps me. Like, obviously, I tell my teammates too, it takes pressure off them, takes pressure off everybody's back. It's like, dang, you know what? Take a step back and really like, this is a joy. Like this isn't guaranteed. Like they can shut this stuff down today or tomorrow. Like you never know when you get a chance to shoot the basketball again or go out there and play with your teammates. So that kind of helps me literally get through the day. Coach Howard talks about win the day. And I feel like every day they do a great job of just not only focus on basketball all the time, they help us focus on outside issues. And if we want to talk about them, the floor is always open. And I think that's, again, another reason why our chemistry is at such a high level right now, is because we all trust and we all can talk to one another.
When did you mentioned earlier something that was interesting, that you fell in love with the game maybe a little later than most. And is that a recent development in the last couple of years, or was that something that happened quickly here, or maybe did it take a couple minutes? You said I fell in love with basketball a little later than a lot of players did.
Oh yeah.
As a baseball first.
Yeah, I was a baseball player growing up my whole life, and I had to make the switch probably like my sophomore, junior.
Oh, I see what you're saying, in high school. Yeah, got it. Yeah.
And when I, like, you know, some guys come out the womb just loving basketball.
Right.
I came out playing like three sports, so I didn't have one love. It came baseball maybe when we got the chance to pitch, and I was pitching that is hitting us with baseballs. And I don't know why I still loving it then, but other than that, you could just see it shift. And once I figured out that basketball was a sport, every time I worked out, lifted, or anything that had to do with basketball, going to an AU tournament, it just made me happy. Mm-hmm. I had joy. That's why I said I found
it. Yeah, gotcha. Interesting.
So I asked you a little bit last night about you expanding your game, improving things, that doing things we hadn't really seen you. You know, you're a spot up shooter primarily, and now you're going to re-assist a game. You're a better rebounder. You're doing more off the bounce. You get an occasional ball screen, right? What in terms of your professional future, right? There are things that are good for you to showcase and that you've been working on that you could do, right? I'm sure that you heard and draft feedback, whatever. What's your balance of staying within, right, what you're very good at right now and what's best for the offensive flow, whatever it may be, versus maybe wanting to show off a little bit more? You know, how do you kind of play both sides of that fence?
Well, first I sit and film with Coach Howard or even anybody who's going through the offense. And I literally ask him, like, is this the point where here? Like, I could take him off the dribble right here. Like, I'll get excited. Like, is this like I can go down here. Right. Like, yep, this is right here. Like, so there's things in the offense where he'll even open it up for you. That's why I said he kind of has like an NBA playbook. Obviously, you got to have a college playbook to go against college defenses, but he has kind of like that open freedom of playing fast and transition, really transition. You can really get after then, and that's when you can – guys, just showcase your dribbling, showcase your playmaking ability, get into the basket, really everything. But other than that, it's just watching, sitting down and asking the coaches straight up. See, I have that relationship with them. There's no tiptoeing behind them saying, oh, I'm about to go off right here. Like, I'm about to do my own thing because I don't want to damage the offense. No one wants to damage the offense, especially when you're playing at such a high level. And it's just, it's fun to share the ball, honestly. Like, that's just something about me. I've always loved sharing the ball. Like I say, playing the game the right way. Is sharing the ball with all five guys on the court and seems to be working for us right now. But other than that, I would say that's the fine line of just asking your coaches, is this play set right here, is this more free, or do you want to finish the play all the way through? So, like, as a senior and as studying the playbook all the time, as anybody would, I know each play and where I can attack and do my thing, and I wouldn't say showcase, but, you know, just help my team, like, get a bucket.
You mentioned the
hold on 1 second here. I put out a thing last night on you're 29 for 30 on threes this year or on from the free throw line this year. You're 73 of your last 76 going back to last year. And so I have a different podcast, Dylan Burkhart and I, right? We got in this big debate this morning on where I think your free throw numbers are your free throw numbers. So here and there, pick some spots, right? Go draw. If you see a driving lane, go in and just run into somebody, draw a foul, right?
Okay.
Whereas if you shoot threes, so like, where are you in something like that? Of okay, is there maybe a better look on any given offensive possession? Maybe, but if you go in and draw a foul, right? That's free money for you. You make free throws.
Yeah. And that's an emphasis Coach Howard tried. Coach Howard and the coach staff challenged me about 2 to 3 free throws a game. At Minnesota, I was 0. And I think against Wisconsin, I shot
0. You had 1 in your last 4 games, but I'm not saying anything.
That's why I had to just be more aggressive. And the text kind of helped last night. But I had 2 of just drawing a foul either way and needed 1 more for my goal. So, like, setting little goals like that each game kind of helps me. And I'm glad they challenged me to do that because it really helps.
And now, 2 pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Is some of it rewiring instincts a little bit? Because, you know, you have just been basically set your feet, shoot threes.
Well, yeah. Like, that, that's been the thing. I try not to stick to and like settle, because that shot is always there. That's what Coach Howard tells me, is I always have that shot no matter what. In my the back pocket, I have the where they have to rotate and quick release three. Like, I can always do that in my sleep, but it's the more of not to pump fake, maybe a sweep, two dribbles. If they help, that's an easy kick. I got Mike, Eli, Franz, Sean D, Brandon. Like, those are all really good shooters. And I got Hunter down low and Austin down low. If not, if nobody comes, it's just one-on-one, me and I, like, them on an island. Now it's just, let's get to the free throw line. Like that, like you said, that's just free money. Like, I'm very confident at the free throw line, so might as well get the easy buckets.
You just mentioned all those guys there, and you're a pretty, you know, you've mentioned film study, everything else. You can be a critical guy if you want to. You guys are 12-1, number five in KenPom. You've blown a bunch of people out. What would you say you need to get better at? And when you really look at this whole thing as a team, like, what, because people have asked, I know people have asked Brendan this and others, like, what holes does Michigan have? I mean, are there, I mean, not without giving away state secrets here, but like, if you're self evaluating sort of where you guys are at with in relation to where you can go, you know, maybe where do you think you guys land? Your honest assessment.
Honestly, it's you talking about like where, like, what do we need to get better at?
Yeah, that and maybe
like, where are you most susceptible?
Yeah, like what do you think right now would be something that would stand in the way of you guys doing anything you want to do? Which would you know what I mean?
Definitely our turnovers. We play very fast, and sometimes we get kind of careless. And I feel like that could be gifting guys, like at Minnesota, for example. We gifted them 20 extra possessions. I don't care who you are, you're not going to win with 20 turnovers. So I would say just taking care of the ball a little bit more, because we don't get sped up. I feel like we speed ourselves up because we want to play so fast, and that's just the culture we're in. But it's just being just more mindful of, like, clock situation, what's the score. Like I said, getting into film and you know when to, like, force it, be aggressive, get to the line. And just went to be kind of like, okay, let's run the play a little bit. Like, okay, we don't have nothing to transition. Let's bring it back out and let's get into something, because they're up three and we're about to be in the media timeout. We want to get some momentum. And, like, little stuff like that can go a long way. And I feel like they're doing a great job. We'll probably watch today on all our turnovers. I don't know how many turnovers we had last night, but I'm sure we're going to talk about them today and we're going to correct them.
I mean, I say that because it's you guys, when I watch you guys play a little bit, it seems like you're a team that knows where you're going. And, you know, I covered the both Final Four teams Beeline had, right? The first Final Four team started 16-0, 17-0, whatever it was. It was all gas the whole time. They knew where they were going. They knew they could beat anybody they played. The team you guys were on, the Final Four team, I think you guys were sort of trying to find yourself along the way. It seems like this team, and you're not in your head. Like, exactly, you were trying to find yourself, and maybe you found yourself in March. This team, to me, Isaiah, it seems like you guys know exactly what you are, where you're going, and confidence is not – an issue, like, at all. Am I wrong? Am I reading this wrong? Or are you guys confident exactly where it needs to be?
They're a pretty confident bunch. And like you said, you got to credit to your coaching staff. You can come in with all the spring workouts, summer workouts you had, and, you know, just add to your bag, as they say, and just confident in yourself. But to go a whole season just being as confident as we are, like in the midpoint, as Brandon talked about, it's really hard to do. Mental health is a big thing, especially in a pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
They did a great job to, like, kind of distract us of those outside, like, issues. And we just kind of focus on ourselves and just winning the day. And I feel like that is what really helps us, because we do player development every day. We go over game film almost every day. And that can keep a guy focused. Like, you have things to work on. Like, it's not getting boring. I think that's what it is. It's like you're learning more every day. And that's just fun, like I said.
So curious, how much are you guys working in late game situations in practice right now? Because frankly, I mean, you've been dusting teams, right? Where, like, I've made the joke a few times, I've never seen, because there's no fans there, it's comical sometimes. Right. There's 5 minutes left in a game and the walk-ons are doing wind sprints, like, on one of the sidelines, because it's a 25-point game. So, like, it's not going to be like this. You know that, right? Like, you're going to get into some weird spots. Weird situations with 2 minutes left where everyone's heads are on fire. Like, how much are you able to work on that? Because you can't replicate it until you're there. Yeah. So what's that process like?
We got Coach Martelli. we start practice every day with the late game situation. And he always says, I know we haven't been in one, but hey, you never know. Let's keep this in our back pocket. I hope we never have to be in one.
There you go.
Keep this in our back pocket. we all know like that's not like possible. Yeah. We're on it. We're locked in. We got our late game situations down. Even like in like a scrimmage sometimes. Like probably next week when we have like a midweek bye or something like that. Like we'll have time to scrimmage each other, and then they'll put us in late game situations, and that's when. Mm-hmm. We can run those plays that Coach Martelli is talking about and kind of execute them and see how it goes and just feel out the spots. Because like Brandon said, we haven't been in a situation yet this year, and we hope we never have to, but we know it's going to come down to a point where we're going to have to run into a wire. So it really comes down to who's paying attention.
What's Phil been like for you? What's your experience with him? Everybody seems to – I mean,
he's the godfather, man.
There you go. Like,
he's the ultimate teacher. He's literally – he texts us every day in our group chat, just a new quote. He has not repeated a quote once, and every quote literally blows my mind every time. Like, it's just – he's a wonderful guy. He's a giver. He just really wants – he pretty much we're his students, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, we learn from him basketball one-on-one stuff every day. Like, just little stuff like, though, like, what happened? We were in practice but running baseline out-of-bounds plays, and someone overthrew someone's the ball over someone's head, and it went back court. And he was like, what are you doing? Get the ball. He was like, oh, wait, time out. How many of you guys know that you can grab that ball after it was tipped? We're like, none of us. We thought it was back court.
Yeah, right.
We didn't know. Like, our guy threw it in, and no one touched it. It just went over his head. And we didn't know that we can grab it. We didn't know that. So, like, little stuff like that, he's teaching us, and he's making us aware, and that he's the perfect guy for the situation right now.
It's the level of wisdom you should expect from someone from Philadelphia, Isaiah.
Yeah. He just won an award. He just won an award the other day and something, and I don't know, like, no one even knew about it. How did he? Until I told him, I'm like, what an accolade. Congratulations. He was like, I did? Oh, thank you.
I remember his old office back at St. Joe's was, like, the size of a closet, and there was just, like, it was just – trophies and plaques and stuff just piled up.
He doesn't care about any of that stuff.
So speaking of coaches, one thing I'm curious about, random question. In covering Juwan, I've had a few times where you just kind of, it really comes into focus, like just how insanely famous and just how like in a different world this guy kind of lives in. What's your example of a moment where you're like, damn, Juwan is just kind of a different level of fame and notoriety and wealth and all this stuff.
Other than me already knowing who he is before,
right, of course.
I remember I pulled up to practice one time in the summer and I see like a yellow Porsche. I'm just like, whoa, like, man's driving a Porsche to practice. Sun, the window's down, sun's out, yellow. I'm like, yeah, he's definitely. He's lived that. Like, he's lived at the highest level. And now, like, to see him come back and give to his old school, it's just tip your hat to him because he literally loves what he does. Like, he loves coaching. He loves coming in every day and teaching something. So
he pulls it off, though, right? Mm-hmm. The Porsche. I mean, some guys you think they're driving a Porsche, like, what's this guy's deal?
I don't even know how he fits
it. Yeah. Like, that's what he, yeah, it's a custom built. Like, he's 7 foot tall.
I don't even know. You see guys just riding around on their bike, stopping, taking pictures. Like,
right.
It's just like, dang.
Yeah. That's funny.
The thing that I've kind of said about Juwan before we let you get out of here, Isaiah, that I'd be kind of just curious your thought, because I think I just said this like on a different, like on a show that I was on where I was trying to explain why he is as successful as he is right now at the college level. And it seems to me like he's able to be a bunch of different things at once, whether it's disciplinarian, you know, the quote unquote player's coach, right? A fatherly figure, but also a friend, but also will tell you what's what, right? And come down on you. And a lot of coaches you see, they try to be one or the other, or when they're doing something that's not in their personality, it's clear they're acting. And with Juwan, it just seems like he's all of these things and it's natural. So yeah. Like, can you, what do you see?
I don't know if the dude took a class or something, but he can literally, he can put on like a cap and he can take it off. Like, he can, like you said, be a discipline coach. He can be a player's coach, and he can tell you what's right. He can be your friend. He can give you advice. It's just like, man, this dude can do all of this and not get stressed out. That just shows what a guy is. Like, it just comes back to him just being genuine. He truly truly, truly believes that we are all his sons. Like, I think that's why he looks at all of us like we're Jace Howard. And I think that's exactly why he can do all the things he can do. Because, like, think about how you would coach your son. Like, you would want to perform, you would give him advice. And once you make your whole team your sons at that point, like, you're going to treat them all and you're going to want the best for them. And I think that's what – he has no favorites. He'll tell you straight no matter who it is. He don't care that I'm a senior, a captain. Like, he's going to get in right – he's going to get into me like he is. As you guys seen on TV, he's going to dig right into me.
That's great.
You got anything else? You got
anything else? No, this has been great, Isaiah. I appreciate it. No, I'll the restaurant.
This young man's time.
The restaurant recommendation.
Oh, get him, yes.
We get out of here. We got to get the young people's recommendations. We got we're too old.
Bacon jerk. I don't know if you guys had it.
What is it?
Bacon jerk.
Oh, I've heard of this. Yeah.
You know, it's very, very, very good. I had it, say, maybe 2 months ago. It's not something I want to eat during the season, you know, 2 months. But more of like an off-season meal after a great hard week of training. So it's a recommended place.
There you go.
There you go. So, folks, maybe throw some business that way to your local restaurant. Isaiah, we really appreciate it, man. We appreciate you coming on. We know it's busy time, so this was great, and you bring great perspective. It's always a pleasure talking with you, man.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me. I hope you guys stay safe.
Same to you, my man.
Of course. All right. Thanks to everyone for listening. Be sure to tip your bartenders and servers.